Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning the halachas of Muktzah. These are things which are set aside on Shabbos, which a person is not allowed to move on Shabbos. This is a rabbinic enactment which is made to avoid us interacting with things on Shabbos which we are not allowed to be using. And we're going to look at a very brief overview of Muktzah today. This is Simon Peches, 88th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at Manan concepts. We're going to look first of all at five different types of categories of items. They are Muktzah Machmas Gufoy, something which has no use on Shabbos, Noilat, something which came into being on Shabbos, Kli Shemalach Le'Isser, an item which is used for primarily Aser activities, Muktzah Machmas Kesron Kis, something which is very expensive and a person is very careful about, which therefore makes it a higher level of Muktzah, and finally, Kli Shemalach Le'Heter, an item which is primarily used for permissible activities. And then we're going to look at Mevatel Kli Me'Echonai, making an item unusable, setting things aside, touching a moving Muktzah, and then finally moving Muktzah under extenuating circumstances. Let's jump straight in and understand this. So, the first type of muktzah is what's called muktzah machmas gufa. This is one of the highest levels of muktzah. This is something which has no utility on Shabbos whatsoever. This type of item may not be moved on Shabbos at all. So, let's just understand this. What types of non-food items are considered muktzah may not be handled? So, included in this are wood, stones, feathers, skins, wool, like skins that are not processed. Wool, flax, live animals are considered muktzah machmas gufoy. Nut or eggshells, hardened bones that dogs cannot eat even. Or let's say unattached doors or windows or broken vessels that are not usable. All these things are considered muktzah machmas gufoy and may not be moved on Shabbos at all. What kinds of foods are considered muktzah? So we're talking about something which is usually a food which human beings would have, but is inedible for humans. Even though an animal may be able to eat it, since it is a human food and is inedible to humans, then it is considered muktzah machmas gufoy and cannot be moved. What items are not considered muktzah and may be handled on Shabbos? So in this category are things that, let's say you have a food which you do not think you would eat because it's a little hard to eat, but in its current state, but it, technically speaking, could be eaten. So it wasn't really put out of your mind and could be moved on Shabbos. Or let's say you put food away into storage, it's still edible, it's not muktzah. Dog food as well, seeing as it's meant to be dog food, it is allowed to be moved. Similarly, if you have bones which have, let's say, marrow in them and the dogs will be able to eat them, that is also fine. If you have bones which are stripped of meat but they fit for animals, these are considered movable, they're not muktzah as well. So when is this determined made as to when they are muktzah or not? It is when the sun goes down on a Friday afternoon. At that point in time, is this item set up for usage on Shabbos or is it not? And that's when this determination is made and it is set. It is pegged at that point in time. What about a utensil which breaks on Shabbos? Are the shards muktzah? So it depends. If the shards have any utility at all still, then they are not muktzah. So for instance, let's say a pot smashes in half and each half can be used as, let's say, to hold liquid or to as a cover, then in that case, it's not muktzah because it still has utility. But if it's lots of little pieces, then all those little pieces are muktzah. This comes into being when, let's say, you're using a plastic fork at a meal and the plastic fork snaps. If you're still able to use the remaining part, then it has utility. If it's not, it's muktzah and one cannot move it. What happens if a glass smashes and it's now lying on the floor of the house or it's in the public domain and it is muktzah? And what am I allowed to not move it or not because it could be dangerous? If it's dangerous, muktzah is waived. Carrying itself in the public domain may not be, but muktzah is waived in this respect. What about treif food? So you can't eat treif food, but a lot of times, a lot of treif food you're allowed to benefit from. So I could give it to a non-Jew. So because a person can give it to a non-Jew, then it is not considered muktzah and you are allowed to give it to that non-Jew. If it is raw or does not belong to you to give, then of course it is still a problem. What are non-vessels like stones, metal chunks? Muktzah answers yes. Unless you designate them for a specific use on Shabbos, they are considered muktzah by default. So going in the backyard and picking up a stone, picking up a random piece of metal is considered muktzah. May a splinter be used to pick your teeth on Shabbos? So no, unless it was designated for as a toothpick before Shabbos, but if it's just a random piece of wood that's lying around, that is not considered available for usage because it was not set aside when Shabbos came in. Now, The next card topic is Nilad. This is something which came into being on Shabbos. So these are mukta and may not be handled. It's because it was not set aside for usage when Shabbos came in. What are examples of this? So let's say the fire burns something and you have ashes which have now come into being on Shabbos. Eggs which are laid, sap which was came out of the tree, fallen fruit. So even though the fruit was in existence, but it was in a state in which the only way I could access it was by performing a malacha, it's considered Nilad. Similarly, freshly milked milk. What happens if a non-Jew is the one who picks the fruit or milks the milk? The answer is, it is still mukta on Shabbos. May I eat a bread baked which on Shabbos by a non-Jew? So in this case, they said there's no bread to be had. And one's in a primarily non-Jewish town where the bread is primarily baked for non-Jews. So it's not an issur of amira la'akum, a non-Jew doing work for a Jew. So in that case, at Shas HaDechak, when there's no other alternatives, one can't borrow any other bread, one may in fact eat that. We now move on to our third category of mukta. And this is called klisha, malachtoi le'issur. You have an item which is being, its may primarily usage is for a prohibited activity on Shabbos. This may not be moved. This is considered mukta. What are examples of this? So a mortar, like, you know, a hand mortar to grind things, a hammer, a grinder, a hatchet, an axe, a shofar, a lamp. These are things which primarily activity is an asra activity. A sewing needle, wax candles, wicks, these types of things may not be moved on Shabbos. May they be moved at all? The answer is, technically speaking, they may be moved on Shabbos, but only letzarech gufoy or letzarech mekomo, for its own usage or for the usage of its place. What does gufoy mean, its own usage? So let's say I use my hammer to crack nuts. Cracking nuts on Shabbos is allowed as long as it's not too finely cracked to be toichein, but I'm allowed to crack open nuts on Shabbos using a hammer, which is a klisha latal isra, maybe used for this particular mutter activity. What is the tzarech mukoma for the need of its place? That is, let's say I suddenly forgot to put away the screwdriver and left on one of the Shabbos chairs. We have guests coming, somebody's sitting in that chair. You may pick up that screwdriver and put it elsewhere. Now, once you're handing it, how much are you allowed to handle it? Meaning, if you were, let's say you wanted that chair and you want to take the screwdriver off that chair for the person to sit down, do you have to drop it the moment it's off the edge of the chair, or may you put it somewhere else? The answer is, once it's in your hand, you may put it even in another room. You do not need to drop it right away, because once you're moving it, you are moving it until you put it down. Then you may not move it anymore. Are tefillin considered mukta? The answer is yes, because one is not allowed to put tefillin on Shabbos. So according to many opinions, they are mukta. This is a klisha malachto le'isur. It is a item which is used primarily for an asur time activity on Shabbos. Can they be moved to protect them? The answer is yes. They may be removed to protect them if they're in an indecent place that is not fitting for the respect needed for tefillin. We're now going to move into our next concept, our fourth type of item, and that is a mukta machmas chesron kis. Here we're dealing with something which is mukta because it is really expensive. We're talking about a really expensive item that a person in general would be careful not to lend out, not to let the kids touch. These types of things become mukta on Shabbos because of their extreme value. What are examples of these items of mukta machmas chesron kis because of their monetary loss? So craftsman's tools, special knives, unused writing paper, valuable items that one doesn't lend out, sales merchandise not for personal use, purses of money like wallets, credit cards. These are usually considered mukta machmas chesron kis, and they have a higher level of mukta. What are common day examples? Today, one of the most common example, electronic equipment. So smartphones and laptops are the kinds of things one generally doesn't lend out and is very careful about this, necessarily the kids using it. Therefore, they are considered muksumach mas chesron kis. Can they be moved for the tzarech gufon or mekoman for their own usage for mutter activity, or they're in the need of their place? The answer is no, not at all as well. It is interesting to note that there is a dispute between the poskim about cell phones. Some poskim say cell phones are klisha mafta yisur, which is a lower level mukta, and they can be moved for their need of their place. Some say not. They are considered mukta machmas chesron kis. Now, I think the debate would center around whether it's a smartphone or a cell phone. Cell phones are relatively cheap. Smartphones are pretty expensive. And so, therefore, this make a difference when, let's say, an alarm would go off on Shabbos that one forgot about. You know, one can certainly cover it because one's not moving it, but can one move it? So, if it's an expensive phone, one can't move it, even a tzarech mekoma in that situation. So that this would be one application of this. And finally, last topic that we're going to talk about today in this first part is a klisha melachtoi leheter. If I have a item which is being used leheter, this is an item which primary usage is for a mutter activity. So are vessels used for both permitted and forbidden activities allowed to be used? The answer is they are called a klishimat al heter, and they may be handled even to protect them from theft or breakage. What are examples of this? So let's say a table, chairs, pots, you know, these kinds of things may be moved. And let's say I left them outside, I'm allowed to move them inside. I'm allowed to move them. What about if there's not to protect them, I'm just moving them randomly? So there's absolutely no use, there's no purpose in the moving, they are not allowed to be moved. What about Kisvei HaKodesh, holy writings? So in this case, holy writings may be moved even without any specific purpose. They're meant to be used. And similarly, food as well may be moved even without a specific purpose as well. It's worthwhile noting this. Most people are not aware of this. They think that anything which is not muktzah can be moved for any need whatsoever. The answer is no. Actually, you have to be intentional even about a klishimat al heter, even something which is primary use, is something which is allowed, should only be moved if to protect it, or for use on Shabbos, but not for purposelessness. That would not be sufficient as well. With this, we conclude, and we're going to finish the second part of Muktzah, Be'ezrat Hashem, in the second episode. Have a wonderful and meaningful